This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. I am quite sure that if you're listening to this, you've heard of the terminology empath, or maybe somebody has said to you, you're an empath, or intuitively you're picking up on things like an empath would. What does that mean? Well, today my guest, Wendy DeRosa, is going to give us some huge insight into what it means to be an empath, intuition, and how grabbing her new book, Becoming an Empowered Empath, can really help you. So welcome to Soulful Living, Wendy.
Thank you so much, Terry. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
I'm so glad we got it worked out. We had a few quirks before we jumped on here, people, and we're here and ready to roll. So let's give the listeners, first of all, a little bit of background on you. I know from what I've read, you've been doing this for a really long time. And also, let's tune into what an empath is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, I've been doing this empath thing ever since I was a child, just in terms of oversensitivity and, you know, and absorbing. I just wasn't aware it was being an empath until actually fairly recently, in the past maybe 6 or 7 years, when I started to hear the term more, but also when the energy on the planet had been accelerating more so, and trauma started to activate in the field more so. And then I started to realize, this is a quality that I have in myself, whereas I always thought of myself as intuitive. And I am intuitive, and people who are empaths are intuitive. So before getting ahead of myself, I want to back up and say that an empath is someone who feels the energy through their sentient body. And that might be emotional energy of other people. It also might be the energy in a space, walking into a room, walking into, the environment around them. They might even pick up and feel the energy in the collective.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it changes their whole body. What you said a couple minutes ago about, being super sensitive. I have always felt, like you, I never really used the term empathic but I could feel a shift in me physically, energetically, sometimes emotionally. And I would have to stop in my tracks and say, like, this isn't me. Where is this coming from? And I would get confused at times, not just about those sensations, but about intuition, because growing up, which I'm sure you experienced, we didn't have that terminology.
Right. Yep, absolutely. So it's important that we're acknowledging to this piece of so much of our empathic experience as children are, we know sensitivity, and we've been on a construct level, somewhat shamed for that, for our sensitivity level, or, that is that we might be intuitive or feeling sense, and it ends up being something that we're that's been made wrong. And then we spend our life in a confusing experience with energy in our environment and not sure how to be with it. I mean, in the energetic body, and this is where I've come to really understand the nature of being an empath, which is that empath, sometimes people will say, I'm an empath, therefore I take on the energy of others. When in fact, that is being overly empathic. That is the experience that energy has crossed into the field, and I have absorbed it into my field, and I can't distinguish mine from someone else's. That gets equated as empath, when in fact the empath is the empowered empath has the ability to hold their emotional center and be able to feel, have compassion and empathy, and have an intuitive awareness of what is going on energetically, but it doesn't take them down to the degree that being overly empathic does. And in the energy body, the second chakra region of the body, which is in the pelvis, very, very, very delicate power center in our body. It is the empathic power center. And part of why we become overly empathic or we absorb the energy of others has to do with our development at that, you know, in childhood and how we were trained in this area of the body to embody ourselves, which includes having our emotions, which includes the freedom to express how we feel on that emotional level, which includes being in tune with the subtle, which includes empathy and validation and vulnerability and all of these qualities that have been somewhat shamed through our conditioning over time. And so the empath's experience ends up being, you know, I'm overly empathic because, and I'm overwhelmed by energy and I'm losing my center because there isn't enough power in this area of the body to hold presence and center to be able to, you know, sort of have self in relation to other.
And so when you're talking about the fields, your energy field, let's get specific for some of the listeners who might not be real familiar with that. Are you talking about like the chakra body and the auric field, the energy field around us?
Yeah. So, yes, good to make a distinction. So for our field, our energy field, I'm talking about the center of the energetic body, the system, including the chakras and the aura. So the soul doesn't just reside within the physical body, where sort of our consciousness is more, also it's beyond the physical body and into the field around us. I think before I said collective or collective field, which is more about this, the energetic system on the, or the energy in the field outside of our energy body. So that might include, you know, the field of other people, the collective vibration that we're feeling that creates a frequency and a quality of energy. So that's more the outside field.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody wasn't sure of that, you know, that terminology, didn't exactly know what to call it, are there signals within their system or their body, you know, like you were talking about, you know, feeling emotionally defunct? Are there things that they can become more aware of within themselves so that they can say, oh, wait a second, you know, maybe somebody's energy is affecting me, like we were talking about when we didn't have the words for that?
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a complex answer. The answer is there are tools we can do to help manage a situation. And then there is the deeper healing work that we need to do that has to do with getting in touch with our inner energy. I work off chakras in the body because they are the template for so much consciousness about our power, or the consciousness of our power, and also the wounds we carry. And they are about how we live or actualize that power in the world. And in our energetic anatomy, we carry so much energy that needs to be healed and processed in order for us to embody more of who we're here to be. And so our radiance and our presence in our body is very boundary setting, meaning I'm taking up the space in my body. But if I'm interacting with someone who is grieving or angry or upset, you know, I think that sometimes the empathic experience can say, well, that's overwhelming to me that I'm having this experience. And what can I do to stop taking on that energy? But in truth, it might be a gift. It might be triggering our own personal invitation to look at what is getting triggered in me as a person is having their experience. Mm-hmm. Those are invitations to go inward and process not just what's getting triggered, but our response to emotions, which mirror our childhood parenting around mm-hmm. emotions. And what we got, if we were taught it's not okay to be angry, it's not okay to be afraid, then when anger and fear and emotions happen outside of us, we lose capacity on how to stay present and grounded in ourselves mm-hmm. and how to stay separate. So again, going back down to second chakra in the body, learning how to be in our own emotions and feelings is and having permission to feel them and express them and see them for ourselves is more the deeper work. Whereas if in the moment it feels like, wow, I am feeling energetically bombarded right now, then yes, a shield of light, a bubble of light, some protection around the outside of the body can be very, very beneficial. It's just that it works as a management tool. It doesn't work for the deeper shifting that occurs. So it will only work for a period of time. And then we're still called into our own personal healing for strengthening our presence, our body, our energy centers in our system.
Yeah. And, you know, when I think about this work and I think about your book and your teachings overall, I think, wouldn't it be beautiful if we had taught our children this, or we would have been taught these tools, how much less anger and disconnect there might be at this time in our lives, not just for us, but for everybody on the planet, if they were taught how to become an empowered empath, right? And that they did have permission and that their feelings were validated, as opposed to, poo-pooing them or pushing them aside or saying, get over it. You know, if we could teach them the tools, that there wouldn't be that necessity for the trauma work that we're doing now. Although I'm really glad, it's really wonderful that people like you are showing up to share their work and to teach people on their own. You know, like if you're watching the video, I'm just going to show you the cover of this book, Becoming an Empowered Empath, How to Clear Energy, Set Boundaries, and Embody Your Intuition. And that's really what this, it's beautiful because it affords people the opportunity to really dig into those things and learn what they can to help themselves move more freely and more balanced, grounded. You know, one of the things that you really talk about is being grounded. Let's talk about the importance of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So grounding, first of all, means contact, typically through the feet, to the earth vibration and frequency. And that means walking on the earth. That means immersing ourselves in nature, whether we're barefoot or not. Sometimes just going out into nature and being immersed in the natural rhythms of the planet. It has it's healing in itself, in its own, you know, its own inherent system. And so it's that ability to be able to immerse in that quality, that vibrational connection, and then allow our energy to come into balance in our body by coming down into our energy into our body more. So essentially, another way of grounding is also envisioning this grounding cord from the sides of your hips and your low belly and low spine, and sort of hugging the pelvic bowl and extending down into the earth. We can do it on a visual sense. We can visualize our grounding cord and create that felt sense in the body that I'm coming down into myself. And why is that important? It's important because we live in a world that is far less, and it has increasingly over, you know, over decades and centuries here have become sort of paved over, and we have a lot of technology, and there's a lot less natural current that we are in touch with. You know, we're not, and there are people absolutely who are out in the farms and growing food, but for the most part, a lot of people, we're not in the hands in the dirt. We're not living, you know, completely disconnected from technology. And what it does to our body, that piece of it, meaning the disconnect over time, but also the amount of accumulation of unprocessed energy at the base of our body, where we hold a lot of our humanness and our human history, that's all first, second, and third chakras of the body. So what happens in the energy body is our spirit, it doesn't exactly exit the body, but it does lift up. Like it certainly can become more highly concentrated in the heart, throat, third eye, crown, sort of upper body. Another way of saying that is I'm in my head. I'm in my head a lot. Or my heart is racing. I have a lot of anxiety. I live up here in my system. We become, and this is not to our faults, it's just sort of, it's kind of the way the body protects itself. It's the way the energy system says, I need to survive in this environment, so I'm going to do so by moving up higher in my body so I can, my consciousness can exist somehow in my system. But what we'll do is we'll sort of lose touch with the grounding connection, and we'll lose touch with what we're holding in our lower chakras. And so when we do that, when we leave consciousness in the lower body, those power centers become areas that we absorb energy into. And this is also feeds into that overly empathic experience, is that we get blindsided. We get the rug pulled out from under us. We didn't see the betrayal coming. You know, we lose touch with, you know, the innate self and power in these lower chakras. And another way of saying that is we've become ungrounded, you know, losing that grounding connection. So grounding is so important. And what that does is either through nature or the visualization of the grounding cord, we come back down into our body, and we come back down into calm, into centered, into peacefulness, and sometimes our feelings, our emotions. So sometimes there's some grief in the homecoming. Sometimes there's some fatigue in the homecoming, back down into the root of our body. Sometimes grounding is uncomfortable for us if we're, you know, figuring out how to be down here in the body and have to process feelings that have been in the way there, and that do need our attention so we can ground more powerfully. So grounding is essential to our ability to stay centered and present in ourselves, and that supports us in our energetic protection boundaries and sense of self as empaths.
Well, and I love the way that you describe that. I also love, listeners, which I have not mentioned, is that you have these meditations. You know, when you read through the exercises and you do the journaling, you also have these meditations available that can help people get much closer to that, not just written, but they can go to your website with the link in the book and actually listen to it. And I have found in the last month, this in particular for me, that I've needed that. I have needed to hear your voice, somebody else's voice, helping me ground and come back to center, because we're starting to open up. Things are getting a little better here, you know, a little better, open, you know, based upon this whole COVID crazy experience that we are having. And so I know I have needed that. And I have really appreciated that that's one of the tools that you have available in the book, is the opportunity to listen to those meditations and to ground yourself more. And I also really appreciated in the book where you talked about the center column, because I think people forget about that, you know, that that coming to center in our body, in our energetic body, is so important, and how it affects us when we don't treat that with love and honor.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to comment on something you said that was so powerful, which is that we need sometimes the support of another to help us come back into our, you know, our grounding, our center. And that is one of the powers of an empath. Mm-hmm. Part of the power, so some people will again feel so debilitated by the empathic experience that it feels more like a curse than a blessing. So what's the blessing in being an empath? Like, how can this at all be helpful? So I just want to say that the empath absolutely is leading the way in connection, in inspiration, in the we collective, in the we consciousness, being able to say, I'm not doing this for me so that I may rise. I mean, yes, we do our own personal healing, and yes, we have to live our own lives, but the empath is very conscious of the we. And the empath is also very conscious that we need power in numbers to be able to rise and inspire and implement change and evoke change in the collective. Because if we don't support each other and come together, then we are going to be victimized by, you know, the energy that is overpowering or is wounded in the field. So it's so important that we have these ways that where people are putting out their inspiration to field the consciousness of the we and the rise of support in the system so that empaths do find their way of leadership and impact in a positive way into the field. And to say the central channel piece that you're mentioning, this beautiful central channel in the center of our bodies is our pathway of truth. Yeah. It is the consciousness of the divine in the center of our being, and it's the divine and our soul in communion. Mm-hmm. And it is the depth of where we go. It's where spiritual practice takes us. It takes us inward to that place of dwelling where we can connect to our deeper truth. And for the empathic experience, in the world, we live so forward in our body, like unconsciously. We're trained to be in the front body through the frontal lobe of our brain, through reasoning and planning, through the front of our heart. Let me give, overgive, or receive through the gut area. It's like, how much energy am I taking into my digestive system that my body just simply can't digest? I mean, we're very front body focused. We also have a back body. And when we lean back into our back body and imagine a shower of light, like grace, like a waterfall flowing in through our back body, it takes the emphasis, the overemphasis out of our front body experience and balances us between back body and front body to where we can perhaps with practice feel the central channel, feel the pillar of strength or the column of light. I use different words here interchangeably. In the center of our system, which is the center of our radiance, as we fuel it, as we imagine it, as we allow it, again, we create that radiance, and that's the radiance that supports our inner self, our inner boundaries.
Mm. And I love how you described it in the beginning too, of the divine coming through, because I believe that we have to have that perfect balance of, yes, the divine and that universal energy, but also earthing, you know, like you were talking about grounding and coming back to nature. We are all of that, you know, we are all of that. And so it's so important. And the front and the back, you know, when you were pointing to the front of your head, I had a vision of like the ajna. And I think as empaths, a lot of times, you know, intuitively, that's what we perceive, is that it's through the ajna. So we always feel like we're open in the crown and in the forehead. And it's so important to get that sense of balance.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that balance, it's interesting because and I talk about this in the book, we have upper body intuition and we have lower body intuition. Empathic intuition is very lower body. It's about the horizontal exchange of energy with the planet. The upper body intuition is more the clairvoyant and the clairaudient. It's the visionary sense. It's the being able to see. And again, if the empathic sense in the body is overwhelmed in lower body, in the lower chakras, the chakras beautifully compensate. They will open up. They will do the job for a chakra that's saying, "Ugh, this is too much." Then the other power center, and this is all an analogy here, but the other power center will just then increase its capacity and work and overwork. And so the third eye, yes, the upper chakras will open up if the lower chakras are needing help. And so as we start to help them, I'm coming back down in my body, I'm helping you, I'm breathing, I'm processing. The overwhelming experience that might be happening in the upper chakras does start to balance also between front body and back body, but also between upper body and lower body.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful how it all comes into alignment and helps you live, as you say in the book, more empowered. Because that's really what we want. And I'm just going to rewind one second. Community, right? And help, because you and I need help as well. Like, we can't walk through all of this alone. So it's beautiful to have these tools to be able to connect with and to be able to incorporate into our own lives. No matter what our spiritual practice, religious practice, philosophical beliefs are, these are tools, becoming an empowered empath, that can really help us get there. I have loved the meditations that I've listened to so far. I haven't listened to everything, but I've really loved working with them. And on that note, we only have a couple minutes left. So listeners, I want to remind you that I'm having a conversation with Wendy DeRosa, and all of her information is available on the Soulful Living page here at Empower Radio. Her website, her links to all of her social media, where you can download the book, where you can buy the book, all of that. Upcoming classes. Quickly, do you have any upcoming classes that people might want to jump in on?
I would certainly, I think the most, because I'm not sure exactly when this will be heard, even if much, much later, it's the best place to go is either of my websites, wendyderosa.com or schoolofintuitivestudies.com. I do teach with the Shift Network also. So I do have an upcoming class in June with the Shift Network. I also have my monthly membership. That's every month. I do a live healing. It's powerful. It's divinely guided. And I facilitate a deep healing. That happens every month. It's called my Divine Healing Inner Circle. Those are two for now, and there's more on my websites.
So most importantly, they should go to your website. They need to go to your website, because there's always something that can give them a taste of what you're doing. Yeah. Wendy, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me and sharing your information, your light, your teachings. I love for my guests to leave the listeners with a thought they can take out into the world to elevate their soul, empower them in some way. What would that be for you?
Yes, my piece of knowledge here is to listen to your intuition. As cliche as that sounds, as simple as that sounds, your intuition is the consciousness of your soul communicating to you. And when we tune into it, as an empath, we nurture it, we expand it, and we become more present and powerful in our own bodies. And that supports us in not taking on the energy of others.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I look forward to connecting with you beyond this.
Oh, thank you, Terry, so much. It was an honor. Thank you.